So I've already talked to you this morning about baptism. Now I want to talk to you about raw meat. Did you guys come to church this morning thinking you were going to learn something about raw meat? Well, you are. So get excited. Any guys like to eat some meat, some steak? I'm a big steak guy, all right? I like to eat raw meat. I don't like to sleep with it. That would be weird. I don't like to wear it. There is somebody that likes to wear raw meat. Lady Gaga. Here's a picture of Lady Gaga in her slippery, wiggle, nasty raw meat outfit at the 2010. You guys love Lady Gaga, huh? Yeah. Those eighth grade guys are huge fans of the Gogs. Is that what you call her? I don't know. In 2010, the MTV Video Music Awards, this is the outfit that Lady Gaga wore on the red carpet, made of legitimate 100% raw meat. Even her shoes are made out of meat, just slipping and sliding. But here's the deal. Everybody thought, ooh, Lady Gaga, she's doing something new that's never been done before. She's so innovative with fashion and all that. That's not true. I did a little research. There is this, where's this guy from? Turkey. His name's Pinar Yolakan. He's a Turkish photographer. And for years, he has been dressing up his subjects in raw meat for his, I don't know what, if he sells these photographs or what. But I found some of them online, and I just want to show you that Lady Gaga did not have the idea for an outfit made of raw meat. So here's one of Pinar's subjects with a necklace made of chicken legs. I know, she looks really happy to have her chicken leg necklace. This one's even better, it's chicken heads. I know, the eyeballs are still in there. Like all the feathers and skin are gone, it's just, they're like kissing around her neck. I don't know if the body is like hanging draped on her back or how he did this. She also looks really enthusiastic about this photo shoot. Look at this one, though. I don't even know what kind of meat this is. That is all, that's turkey or chicken. Her whole clothes are meat sewed together. And then I've got one more. This lady's the least happy of all of them. None of these subjects look happy to be wearing raw meat. But I've got one more bonus picture. These kids are pretty happy to be wearing their bacon tuxedos. Those are tuxedos made out of bacon, out of pig meat. Now, it's fun to look at these photographs, and they're interesting because someone wearing raw meat is not something that you see every day. It's something unique, and there's a reason why. If you wear raw meat, you will be nasty. You see, meat doesn't last very long outside of a refrigerator or a freezer, and it starts to spoil, and it starts to smell bad. It starts to get all nasty. I mean, if meat is untreated, if you don't refrigerate or cook it, it will spoil. It will get nasty. So don't look at Lady Gaga's picture and these photographers' pictures and think, I'm going to turn some heads at school on Monday. I'm going to go to the store. I'm going to get some meat. I'm going to get a needle and some thread. I'm going to sew it together. I'm going to be like, what up, y'all? Because by third period, you will be vomiting. And everybody around you will be vomiting. And they'll never talk to you again. And you'll have the saddest life anybody's ever had. And you'll blame me. And you'll come to me for help. And I'll just laugh. And I'll say, you didn't listen. Because meat spoils. It gets nasty. Now, I think we all kind of know this. Now, if you didn't know that, now you've learned something new. All right? So don't, sleep with a pillow of meat. It'll wake up smelling in the morning. Don't wear raw meat. It spoils. But here's why I tell you this. This is an analogy. This is an illustration that is going to stick with us through the whole morning this morning. We're talking about raw meat, but here's what we're really talking about. You see, the human race is a lot like meat. If you leave us alone, we get nasty. Let me say that again. A couple of my guys have journals. I want to give them a moment to write it down. Those of you that are typing in the notes of your phones, this is worth writing down. The human race is a lot like meat. If you leave us alone, we get nasty. Without something or somebody intervening in our lives, we are going to drift towards sin. And that's going to become more and more unappealing to the people we are around. You all know people and someone whose life is nasty. If you leave us alone, if I leave me alone, I get nasty. Here's a couple places where the Bible talks about this. Psalm 51, verse 5 says that surely, this is David who killed Goliath, was anointed by God to be king. He says, surely I was sinful at birth. I was sinful from the time my mother conceived me. You see, we have wickedness and we have sin that we are born with, that we have inherited from our first ancestors, Adam and Eve, and then every ancestor that's lived ever since then. We have nastiness living inside us that if you leave us alone, we're only going to get nastier and nastier, both as individuals and as a society, our whole culture. You see it. Every year, the songs push the limits a little bit more. The boundaries get pushed a little bit farther. What you are texting and tweeting and Instagramming gets a little bit edgier and a little bit nastier if you're left alone. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 4, Paul, talking to his younger friend Timothy, kind of prophesies in this way. He says, you know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. And he is describing, I believe, the days that we are living in now. I think we are in the last days. It could be today that Christ comes back. It could be 150 years from now. But in the scope of all of time, I think we are towards the back end of it. He says, people will love only themselves and their money. Ever seen a music video that represents people only loving themselves and their money? Or a movie? Or a song? Or a television show? Or a friend that sits next to you in class? I think so. They will be boastful and proud. Anybody ever boast of their achievements, the grade they got, the way they played in a game, what they have and you don't have? Yep. They'll scoff at God, be disobedient to their parents, but you guys have never done that. And ungrateful. Oh, you are an ungrateful bunch. I don't mean to be mean, it's just true. They will consider nothing sacred. They'll be unloving and unforgiving. They'll slander others and have no self-control. They'll be cruel. You've been cruel to your friends and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless and puffed up with pride and love pleasure rather than God. If you leave us alone, we get nasty. Let's say that together. I'll say if you leave us alone and you guys say we get nasty. That's a fun thing to say, isn't it? If you leave us alone,
we get nasty.
If you leave us alone,
we get
now I want you to say, I get nasty, and turn to somebody next to you and just admit it. If we leave you alone, I want you guys to get a grip. That's a weird thing to say. I want you guys to get a grip. I want you to get a handle. To wrap your brains, to wrap your hearts, to wrap your lives around the fact that you are depraved, which means there's nothing good that lives and resides inside of you. I hate it when somebody says, well, everybody, you know, is basically good at the heart of them. No, no, no. The opposite is true. Everyone is basically sinful at the heart of them. You see, God created us in His image, but from birth, we have been sinful. We have missed. Sin means miss the mark. We have missed His mark. And so we were created to be good, but we are not perfect. We are far from it. And if you leave us alone, we just get worse and worse. There's one more scripture that I had from Revelation 3:16. God says this, because you're lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you or vomit you out of my mouth. You see, if meat is not in a refrigerator or frozen, or it's not cooked on a stove or in an oven or on a microwave or on a grill, If it's not hot or cold, that meat is nasty. And you put raw meat in your mouth, blah! And then later, blah! And it's coming out your nose. And oh, sorry. To restate, this is you. If you're not hot or cold, you are nasty. And we tend to be a lukewarm people. So let me say it again. The human race is a lot like meat. If you leave us alone, we get nasty. This world has been infected by sin. Your heart is toxic. We are nasty, and we need something to intervene, to not leave us alone, to keep us from getting worse. Our world needs that. Now, if you are a Christian, you know where I'm going with this. You know that God has intervened in your life. That He has made a way for you to be purified, for you to be forgiven, for you to be made right. But the world around us, people that do not know Christ, they're getting worse and worse and worse and worse. So what is the solution for our culture, for our society, for our country, for your school that is getting nastier and nastier? For your group of people that you follow on Instagram, your group of friends on Facebook that is getting nastier and nastier, the friends that you run with that pick the movies that you go watch, that send you the pictures and the links to the videos, what is the solution? Because if you leave them alone, they get nastier and nastier. Just like meat. Matthew 5:13 says this. You see salt and light up on the screen. We're going to focus on salt this morning. You are the salt of the earth. You. Jesus is speaking to people that follow Him and are believers. And He says, you are the salt of this earth. Now let me help you understand, leave this up here for a second. We all know what salt means to us. Salt is what you put on your green beans or on your potatoes or on your eggs or, you know, whatever it is. You put salt on something and it makes it taste better. Here's what it meant to Jesus' audience. You see, when Jesus was around walking the earth, they didn't have refrigerators and freezers and microwaves and all that stuff. The only way that they could eat meat and have meat was if they were able to find a way to preserve it. And they didn't have a refrigerator, they didn't have a microwave, they didn't have anything like that. So the way that they took care of their meat was with salt. Salt was a preservative, and it was extremely valuable. Roman soldiers didn't get paid with money. In Jesus' time, they were paid in salt. What we make as adults who earn a living, we make a salary. And salary, it comes from the same root word as salt. So they made a salary. They got paid in salt. There's an expression, oh, he's not worth his salt. That means he's not worth paying. He's not worth a salary. That is where that expression came from, was in their day, people were often paid in salt. So salt was extremely valuable. Actually, their lives depended on the presence and availability of salt. Otherwise, they would starve because they would never have meat that was fresh enough. They would either starve or die of diarrhea and vomiting because their meat would be nasty. Because if they left it alone, it would get nasty. So the survival of their entire culture and society depended on the presence of salt. Shh, stick with me. So what is Jesus saying? The survival of your generation. And I want you to think of your generation, your peers, not adults, not this world, but your generation and the young ones coming behind you. Their survival depends on you. That's what Jesus is saying to His followers. The survival of this generation, if you leave them alone, they will get nasty. But you are salt. You are what will preserve them. You will keep them from getting more and more wicked. You. Jesus doesn't stand up and say, I am the salt of the world. He could have, but He decided to let His Spirit live inside of us and to give us the privilege and opportunity of being salt And he gives it to you and he says, you are the salt of the world. And so I'm relaying that message from him to you this morning. For your generation, what's going to make a difference? Not me, not your leaders. We're here to support you, to train you, to encourage you, to teach you how to be salt, to remind you that you are salt, but you are the salt of the world. I'm not going to come around to your schools and to your lunchrooms and sit there and try to minister to your friends. You're there every day. You do it. You are the salt of the world. I'm not going to come coach your teams. I'm not going to come hang out with your friends on Friday night and help you decide what movies to watch. I'm not going to be the Instagram police and call your parents every time you post something inappropriate. You be salt. You keep each other from decaying and spoiling and rotting. You're the salt of your generation. And your generation's survival depends on you. To say it another way, the human race is a lot like meat. If you leave us alone, we get nasty. So if the human race is like raw meat, Christians are like a refrigerator. You keep the world from spoiling. This is a big responsibility. So how do you do this? How do we become like salt? Let me give you, I already kind of explained it to you, but let me give you the howstuffworks.com. Cool website. I love this website. If you ever want to know how anything works, you can look it up. Here's what it says about salt. Salting, especially of meat, is an ancient preservation technique. The salt, here's specifically what happens. You rub salt into and onto the meat, and what it does is salt draws out moisture. It takes the water out of the meat. It dries it out. And so it creates an environment that's inhospitable to bacteria. So what that means is the bacteria is what makes it spoil. The bacteria and the fungus and all that stuff is what makes it nasty. It makes you sick when you eat it. It makes it reek. It makes it all slimy. The salt goes in there. It pulls out water. All right? And then the bacteria need water to survive and to multiply. And without the water, they die. And so salt changes the environment. It doesn't attack the bacteria, it doesn't attack the meat, but it makes a new environment where the nasty stuff can't survive and it can't grow. So the salt gets in there, rubbed in, changes the environment, and the bad stuff goes away. So salt creates an environment where the best parts of the meat are preserved and the worst parts die off. So do you see what I'm getting at? Your presence. Follow me on this. I put it on the screen so you can see it. Your presence in the world creates an environment where the best parts of your friends are preserved and the sinful things cannot live and thrive. So you guys all know that person that when you're around them, you are the better version of you. They are salt in your life. And what Jesus is saying is you be that person. I'm guessing that you're on better behavior when you're at small group around your leaders and your Christian friends than you are in some other circles. I'm guessing that you're on better behavior when you're here at Wake than you are maybe in some classes at school or other places. That's because you're surrounded by salt and And the environment, it's just my small group guys waving at me. They're idiots. Hi, guys. I like you. And so, focus on this, morons. Sarah Beth, edit the audio before we put it online. Your presence in the world creates an environment where the best parts are preserved and the worst parts die off. So, how do you do this? Salt creates a better environment, so you create a better environment. You be that kid that makes the environment better for everyone to be in. Have a vision, have a goal in mind. Here's the vision I gave some of my small group guys. See if you guys remember when I said this. I challenged them. It was just a few of them. I said, your group of friends should be the most fun and the least wicked. The most fun and the least wicked. You should create an environment with your group of friends that everyone wants to be a part of, but when they get into it, there's not all the bad stuff that's going on in the other environments that people think are fun. And that fun over there is tempting, but yours is even more fun. It's even better. And so they're drawn into this environment where the sinful things and the temptations, they just can't survive. Because you're not doing any of those things, and what you're doing is so great. And so the wickedness and the sin and the rot and the decay, they just die. You don't go to your friends and attack them and say, "You're wicked, you're sinful, you're following all these temptations." No, you don't. Salt doesn't attack the meat. It doesn't even attack the bacteria. It just creates an environment where it can't survive. And so you guys are called to be the salt of the world. So get some friends that love God, and you guys create an environment that is the most fun and the least wicked. And your generation will be preserved. Your generation will lead my generation when you are the salt of the earth. Jesus goes on. I want to show you the second point and then show you more about what he says. Salt, to do this, to create a better environment, must be uncontaminated. You see, you can't be lukewarm. You can't have one foot in the Christian world and one foot in the world. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew 5:13 after he says, "You are the salt of the earth." He follows it up immediately and says, "But what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless." Now here's what he's talking about. I want to explain to you again what his audience is hearing. In the Dead Sea region where Jesus was teaching, there was this salt that was also mixed in with another mineral called gypsum and some other minerals. And whenever this salt got mixed in with these other minerals, it became worthless. And it didn't work. It wasn't able to preserve the meat because it was contaminated with these other minerals that counteracted what the salt was trying to do, and the bacteria thrived and grew and the meat rotted. And so what they would do when they discovered a batch of salt that wasn't effective because it was contaminated is they would throw it out. And they would intentionally throw it in the walkways and the streets because they didn't have concrete, they didn't have roads and sidewalks. They would clear paths where vegetation would die. And so all this was good for doing was killing life. So they would dump it out on the street and it would kill vegetation and make a path where they wanted to walk. And so if you are salt, but you're also contaminated, so here's what I'm saying. If you're a Christian, but you're contaminated by the world, and your life is also marked by sinful things, you're actually only good for destroying life, not for preserving it. And so your usefulness is gone. And so if you want to be what Jesus is telling you you are, what your generation needs you to be to survive, you have to create a better environment. But in order to do that, you have to be uncontaminated. You must be uncontaminated. How do you do that? Do you just start being a better person? No. You start thinking about what are the ways my life has been contaminated by sin. You honestly ask yourself that question. You confess that to God and to others, people who are going to be salt with you. You ask God to purify you, even now this morning, to forgive you, to sharpen you, to make you better. Jesus stands ready to forgive you. We sang about it this morning. And he wants to cleanse you so that you can be useful. But this is not done by your own works. It is the work of God living in and through you. So don't go try to decontaminate yourself. You can evaluate where the contamination is, but you ask God to forgive you, to purify you, and to intervene in your life. And then you trust your every step to him. You seek him and ask him how he wants you to live. And you bring other Christians around you. And you say, "I'm contaminated. Here are the ways I'm contaminated. I want you to hold me accountable. I don't want to look at this on my computer anymore. I don't want to talk this way about others anymore. I don't want to laugh at these jokes anymore. I don't want to tell these jokes anymore. I don't want to send this stuff anymore. I don't want to watch this stuff anymore. I don't want to act this way to my parents, to my siblings anymore. I need you to help me. Because if you leave me alone, I get nastier and nastier. So don't leave me alone, God. Don't leave me alone, Christian friends. Help me decontaminate." You want to be salt, which we need you to be, you must be decontaminated. And the last thing, as we're getting ready to close, salt must be invested. I think I've got a picture here of a big slab of meat with salt on it. You see, if we had the right kind of salt, but it was just sitting in a bowl or in a container right next to the meat out on the table, it would be useless. You have to rub the meat the salt into the meat. It has to be invested, deeply connected with the meat in order to pull that moisture out and change that environment. So here's the deal. If you just get in your holy huddle of Christian friends and you never interact with anybody else that is nasty and wicked and is decaying, you're going to be completely ineffective as salt. So put up the 3 points. Salt creates a better environment, but to do so, it must be uncontaminated and it must be invested. You have to have a vision. You have to have a goal in mind that I am going to transform, starting with this team, this class, this school, this group of people. And I'm going to do it with these other people, but I've got to invest. We have got to invite others into our environment. We are not a closed game. Our small group is an open group because we want other people to come into this wonderful environment so that sin might not have the opportunity to take root and grow and live in their lives. We're going to create a better environment and we're going to invite you into it. We're not closed. We're invested. Salt must be invested. So if you've ever had the thought, oh no, I don't want to add another person to my small group, repent of that thought right now. Because that is not being salt, which is what Jesus called you to do. I have a great picture of this. This is what I always think of when I think of salt and light. Let's put it up on the screen. Standing with a microphone is Robert Howard. He's one of my small group guys in my first small group. He's now a junior in college. And he was friends with a guy named Will Washington, who some of you guys know, and also a guy named Cole Burdett, who some of you guys might know. And they were all three part of my small group. And they decided, towards the end of their sophomore year in high school, going into their junior year in high school, that they needed to be salt in Highland Park High School where they were going to school. And so what they did is they started an official school club called Iron Sharpens Iron. Some of you guys in Highland Park might have even heard of it. It's still meeting today. And this club was a club for Christian men, high school men, to gather to discuss God's Word and to talk about how they can be salt and light in their school. So this is a gathering of high school guys from Highland Park High School in Robert's backyard. They collected money, they got donations, they bought a screen and a projector and microphones and speakers, and they got all these chairs. They had Chick-fil-A donating chicken nuggets, and they go out there and they have these meetings. They call them ISI, Iron Sharpens Iron Underground. And they had these underground meetings because they got kicked out of the school because their group got too big. They're an official school club. You can still find them on the HPISD website. But they outgrew the meeting room for clubs that they allow in the schools. So they started meeting underground in people's backyards and different places. And they just share God's word with each other. They worship God together. A bunch of high school guys singing. And they create this environment where they invite every friend they have. These guys that are out partying and drinking alcohol and doing all sorts of inappropriate things. They invite them, come to Underground, come to ISI. And it's not a church. And it's not, you know, a youth group. It's just all their friends and guys they know from school. But they've created this environment. It's someone's house they'll go to. And they come to that environment. And in that environment, nobody's there drinking. Nobody's cussing there. Nobody's talking bad about other people. They're not looking at pornography. You see, the temptations and the sin, it's dead. Because there's some salt in that backyard. And there's some salt in that school. And you are the salt of your schools. Who's going to be the next person to start an ISI in their school or something like it? Who's going to be the next person to have a vision for getting together a group of Christian friends and being the most fun and the least wicked people that everyone knows, that everyone wants to be a part of? And when they get to be a part of it, sin can't live. And they are your culture and your society is preserved because of you. I hope every one of you. You change the environment. You got to decontaminate. You got to do that first. And then invest. You are the salt of the earth. Let me pray, and then I have one announcement at the end.